Todd. So he sends me this text, and anyway, so I'm opening this text, things I'm not supposed to be doing before I pray, but something told me to start listening to this, but it was like 59-minute video. Dutch Sheets, he was at a meeting with Chuck Pierce. They were doing a meeting in Washington, D.C. And so I was watching through it, kept watching and watching and watching. And right at towards the end, he said something that it hit me so strong. He said something to him, and I'm going to share what he said to him later in this message. I'm going to give the kind of background. He got a revelation of Abraham, that God made a covenant with him after King Abimelech. And during that covenant, it was in Beersheba. He asked him to plant a certain tree, an evergreen tree. Abraham planted an evergreen tree, and I don't know the revelation. I didn't even get all that. He was just talking about it and declare that God's the everlasting God. Somehow he got a huge revelation on this, so much so that he said it was key to taking down the giants in the land. It was so impacted him that he... Spirit of the Lord told him to go to Beersheba, go there, travel, take a team with you and go. And so they do, they go and this prophetic journey they're on. And I'm going to make the long story. So it does it 59 minutes so I can get into our part of it. Praise God. He travels and he said he gets over and he's traveling over there to Turkey because he's going from Turkey to, and he said a strong man meets him in the airport and this man comes and stands right in front of him. Strips down to his underwear right in front of him in the middle of the airport. I mean, there's a strong man's confronting him. He realized, come to find out, it was 100 years to that day since Beersheba was liberated from the Turkish people. And that strong man was confronting him that 100th day. And it was the 500th day to the day that Martin Luther nailed his thesis on the wall in Wittenberg. And so he knew he's on an assignment. He just didn't know when he got there. I can't remember if Chuck Pierce was with him or Chuck Pierce gave him this word, but he gave it to this word to him. And this is the word he gave him when he was there. So he traveled all over the world to get this word. And this is all I needed to hear. And Chuck said to him, the key to all of this is he said these two words. He said, here's the key to all of it. Hebron, or he called it Hebron. So he gives him this word. He says, Hebron Pioneer. Dutch says that Chuck does that to him all the time. He gives him the word and he says, you go figure out what that means. He goes, that's all my job was, to give you those two words, Hebron Pioneer. That is what you need. That's going to unlock Hebron Pioneer. And so he starts doing because he's a teacher. So he starts researching Mount Hebron and he goes into all the way. He goes right up into David, but he didn't see it as the glory of the crown, but he did see that God had to restore that mountain in the last days. God had to restore that mountain. It was the key, and the giants were sitting on that mountain. And it was named before Hebron. It was Caleb that came in. It was called the city of Arba. Arba was the chief, Kiriath Arba was the chief giant of the promised land. He was the chief giant. He was stationed right there, and they named the mountain after him. That was the name of the mountain, Kiriath Arba. And that was the mount that they went into, the spies. As you remember, they went down into that mountain, and that's where the giants met them. And that was named after their father, which was the father of Anak, was Arba. And the chief of all the giants was sitting on that mountain. And you know the story. They brought the evil report, the intimidation of those strong men that was sitting on that mountain. Only two of them came back. These were not just normal people. These were tribal leaders that were chosen by Moses. The leader of each tribe, basically the king of the tribe, sent 12 of them in, and 10 of them came back with a complete, I mean, they just lost it. Said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. They weren't ready to venture into the promised land. They weren't ready for the conquest that God had prepared for them. Only two of the 12 were ready. And because of that, the other two, as you know the story, were made to go back because they issued the unbelief and blamed it on God and said, would we never left Egypt in the first place? It's crazy how they turned from this warrior tribe to this completely defeated people in a matter of one encounter with a strong man. One encounter, they were completely defeated and they had to turn back. They turned back into the wilderness and it took them 40 years before they got back around. 40. I mean, just think about if you were Joshua, you had to wait 40 years for something you could have went to 40 years before. You had to wait because the people issued a report because they encountered, they went into the promised land. And it was exactly what God, they said, man, the fruit is just like you said it was. It's just like you said, it's glorious, but the giants are there. Listen, if you think you're going to walk out into the enemy's territory and not encounter this stuff, you are. You're going to encounter them, but we are people prepared for that encounter. But the glory's there. And they realize that the chief champion of that mountain, because what Chuck Pierce told him, he said, listen, the key to this is Hebron Pioneer. Hebron Pioneer, this is the key. Now, Dutch Sheets, this was incredible because I was listening to them. Well, they got my attention. He says, listen, the whole scripture for my whole life, they were like, I think it was February 22nd, they were meeting in Washington. He goes, listen, we're here right now on the scripture of my life is Isaiah 22:22. He goes, this is my whole life scripture to unlock this, the government, the key of the house that they will be on his shoulders and on the shoulder of the Lord and he'll open it. And they start, he started to me, he goes, listen, it's the priest that allows you to go up to the right hand of God, but it's the king that comes down from the right hand of God. I'm like, woo, say that. He goes, we have to learn to come down with the decree of the Lord. It's time that we change the way we pray. He's saying all this. He goes, we have to come down and make the decree from the place we were at, not walk in the enemy's territory. And he's saying all this. I'm like, get on it. What I'm seeing is all these prophets and everyone, they're all seeing this mountain. They're seeing in part. Had he just gone further, he could have taken it through Solomon. He could have taken in the Revelations 3, then in the Revelations 5. But they're seeing this glory and this operation. They're talking about it. And they're talking about there's a whole new prayer movement that's issuing from this scripture. A whole prayer movement will be born in the earth. They're saying this in February, right before the COVID thing, I believe. But they're seeing all this and they're meeting in Washington D.C. and they're realizing that you go up as a priest. You've got to go up and sit in his right hand, but you have to come down as a king. And you have to know your authority. I'm like, yes! We can fill the blanks in, praise God. There's a map that God has given that people are looking at. And the prophets are all speaking all around this realm. And he says, God has caused us to displace giants in the last days, but we're not going to do it unless we know how to come down from his mountain and make the decree. And he goes, and the key is being a Hebron pioneer, a pioneer of Mount Hebron, that was, it's been sitting in our constitution for a good 18 years now. That mountain was Abraham's mountain because he was talking about Abraham made that covenant and they planted that tree. He planted that evergreen tree and declared God was the everlasting God, but he was buried then in Mount Hebron and he goes, all this mountain has to be retaken. And I'm like, yeah, it does because that mountain is Mammon. That mountain is what's controlling right now and standing between us and the dispensation of the crown. And that mountain, by the way, is what our house, if you pay attention, that mountain is the chief calling of this house right here. Not chief calling of Pastor LaRue, chief calling of the house to bring that mountain down out from the glory because it's that mountain that's no longer in the earth. It's that mountain that the Lord himself received the inheritance of that crown. He received all of Abraham's, all of Isaac, all of Jacob's, all of Caleb's. It has the faith of the patriarchs and the inheritance. It has the longevity of Caleb. That 45 years he stood for that mountain unwavering. It has the warrior king of David in it. It has the glory and wisdom of Solomon in it. It has it all. And in the Lord, it has all of the Lord's. He took it up into heaven and perfected it 7 times. And it's that mountain that we crown with. It's that mountain we bring back down. It's that mountain that will drive out the giants in the land. It's that mountain that the dominion of the Lord will manifest into the earth. And they're looking at it, and he said, the global prayer movement is being born right now. It's a global prayer movement, he said, of the priests going up before the Lord, but the kings coming down. We go up as sons. We come down as heirs. Up there, you make this glorious transition at the top. In the Father of Lights, you transition in there with him, and you get clothed in manifested glory. It is us, the Last Day Church, that will bring the Father's throne. He's not going to arbitrarily come down. Our authority as the Ecclesia, called out church, is going to bring his throne back down. He's coming with our authority. He's coming with what we understand and know and decree. He's coming to understand what we understand about his mountain. The mysteries of his mountain has been given to us. It's glorious. I'm going to say this again. Every part of God's planting is in that mountain, is in that crown. I want to share a mystery. He sent the lamp to bring us to the crown. It was the lamp that navigated us up. It was the lamp that showed the realms. It was the lamp that created all of the pathway. It was the lamp that brought us into the Father. It's the crown. And the lamp is composed into the crown as the seven eyes of the Lord. But then the seven eyes of omnipotent dominion get added in. It's the crown that will go forth out from the right hand of God. As a lamp, but a crown with glory and dominion. And the key is becoming a Mount Hebron pioneer. Well, you know what that means, pioneer? I just looked up the definition of pioneer. One who ventures into the unknown or unclaimed territory to settle. One who ventures into the unknown or unclaimed. It was unknown. That's what Chuck Pierce was telling him in his prophecy. You're going to have to pioneer this mountain. You have to find out what's in there. It's an unknown, unclaimed territory. The giants are possessing it in the earth. But God is going to plant that mountain again and bring it down. He's bringing it down with that crown, and they can't stand against it. Their defense has already parted from them. Listen, we already have the wisdom. We already have the way. We're way up into this. I'm telling you, we are. Genius of God has already gotten in how he wants to bring that thing in. It's a house thing. Listen to this other. A person who is moving in to settle, to enter or settle into a territory, opening it for occupation and development by others. A person that's entering into an unknown territory. He enters in and he settles into it for the purpose of occupation and development by others. The pioneer opens the door. The pioneer settles it and then opens it for the world to come in. That's what the Father's house is. It's a pioneer church to bring something unknown into the earth. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't know it. They're not called. They're going to get to walk in freely what we are laboring to bring into the earth. What we are understanding to bring down in the earth, they'll get to freely come and settle right into the inheritance. They won't have to pay any price that any one of you are paying right now. But you get the reward. Because it's a corporate inheritance. It's a corporate crown that God has called this house to bring into the earth and settle it into the earth. That's what he said to Abraham. Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That's an Abrahamic inheritance. Not just the earth. You can't run out and have dominion without possessing heaven first. In this hour, we're not going to have any dominion until heaven comes down. Until we understand the mystery of how to get heaven down, we won't see it. Say possessor of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. Say, I am Abraham's seed. I am a possessor of heaven now and earth. I saw his throne come down today. I felt the glory of that throne. I felt the holiness of that throne. I walked out from that because of the intensity of it. I don't know what all we're asking for. honestly, I don't understand the weightiness of that realm. But we are pioneers. Pioneers of the mountain going up, pioneers of the mountain going down. And listen, it doesn't matter if the whole world didn't know about it yet. They didn't know about California till the pioneers came over. They didn't know about America till the pioneers came through and opened the door. It's the pioneering spirit that goes out into the unknown. It's the pioneering spirit. It's easy to travel into the known. It's the pioneering spirit that goes out there and runs into a dead wall and then has to remap that. So that's not the way. Spent way too long going that way. It's the pioneering spirit that goes the other way. May hit another dead end. It'll hit 50 dead ends, but it'll never stop. So it finds its destination. There is a treasure and a pearl of great price hidden in the Father of lights. And it's the pioneering spirit that gets past all of the enemy's assignments. It gets past your own weakness and your own failures. And you overcome at every single level. You have to overcome your own self. You have to overcome everything the enemy throws at you. You have to overcome injustice when it's thrown at you. One injustice after another after another. You have to overcome. And your own mistakes. And your own failures. You have to overcome. You can't. The pioneering spirit doesn't get to turn around. It doesn't get the option to quit. It doesn't get the option to just turn aside. Let somebody else do it. God put it on us to do it. He gave us the spirit to do it. He gave us the mandate, the calling, and the wisdom that's beyond this world to do this, to bring this mountain and its crown into the earth so all can have it freely. What's taken our whole life to get it here. Everything to get here. I'm going to say it again. It takes the faith of the patriarchs and the inheritance God gave them. It takes the longevity that Caleb had. Every part of their DNA, every part of their legacy is in these words that we carry. Every part of them is looking for the generation where God will crown a whole generation of kings and not have one in the earth, but have a whole generation to rule and reign. In the darkest hour of human history, God will raise the greatest light. This will not just be a church. This is kings. They'll come in up as priests. They'll come down as kings. And they will manifest his glory. We will manifest his glory. It takes the warrior king to stay in there and not turn aside. It takes the glory of Solomon and the wisdom of Solomon. And yet a greater than Solomon to inherit it. All for an hour. That he will give us the wisdom of the crown. The final crowning stone, the glory of all things, all of it. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell them, don't get familiar. You know why Kevin said I is so awesome? Because you see him come in once every 6 months or so. If you would listen to him every week, there's this thing that calls familiarity, and you have to be careful. Even in the glorious times of familiarity gets set in, we have to know that what God's given is gold. It's precious. So now you may not like the vessel it comes through, the way it's presented. Doesn't matter. It all came out of his treasury. The revelation is gold. The pathway is gold. It has the incredible blessing and inheritance and the prize in it to bring it, pioneer it all the way to the end, to find the land. It's in the Father. It's all in the Father. To stay with it to the very end. To the very end. Hold it, keep it, represent it. Venture into it now. Dream into it. Perambulate it into it. Never let it go until it comes out from the heavens into the earth. That was two words Chuck Pierce gave him. He said, the key to these giants is Hebron Pioneer. That's how you're going to displace them. We have the authority and the dominion in the high place of God to displace things in the earth. And God's assigned us the granddaddy of them all. It's not just money. You don't understand. It's the control that it has over all nations. And God said, I'm going to shake it down in the last days. The whole thing is going to get shaken and it's going to relinquish the control. The political spirit's controlled by the mammon spirit. The money, it controls all of it. Mammon controls everything. They do it for the power. You understand why they hate our president? It's the good old boy club up there. They get rich off putting somebody in office. They get rich by regulating things in the earth. They can regulate a light bulb and say, you can't make this anymore. You're done. But my friend can make them now. And it's this new technology that we're going to approve that everybody in America has to buy this light bulb now instead of that light bulb. Who do you think gets the contracts? Half of them don't even know what they're doing. You don't understand how the thing works. It's the mammon spirit. God puts somebody in there and says, it's over. It's America first. It's not you first. It's not nations. It's not you selling off our nation to another country so you can get wealthy. That's over. So you got a guy that comes in and says, no, it's America first at all costs. They hate him for it. Because they want to keep on going because this was their thing. But God said, no, it's my thing. And what God did in the political spirit, he's going to do and shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands, and the treasures of all nations will come into the house of God in the last day. And the great harvest of the last days will come into the earth, be funded from above, all from this glorious mountain we're sitting on in this church with a taco stand. It doesn't matter what things look like right now. What matters is what it looks like right in here. What are we carrying in here? What's going on in here? After the enemy's thrown everything he's got and keeps throwing, what do I look like in here? What is my spirit? What am I carrying? Am I carrying the image of my Father? Am I carrying His glory? Or am I carrying self-pity, woe is me, trespass and bitterness? Everybody can go down that road. Anybody can check out. It's easy to check out. It's not fair when you stand for the cause of God in the earth. There is unfair things. It's not ever going to be fair, but God's the reconciler. God's the reconciler of the injustice. I've already found there's no injustice that He won't heal. I'm done fighting injustice here. I'm done with it. I don't need justice from anybody or anyone. I don't need pity either. What I need is God to eradicate the injustice in my heart. I got to keep this thing right because it's this thing that's coming through. And this is where the war is. What people do to you, it's not personal. They want what's inside you. There's a spirit behind it that wants what you have. He wants to steal that word. He wants to steal that inheritance. He's coming after the word. Don't take it personally. You're carrying glory. He wants it. He wants what he can't have because you are a possessor of heaven and you have the capacity to bring heaven down, and he wants that. He wants that open authorization the Father's given you. He wants to steal what he can't have because Jesus put it above him. Put it out of his reach, and he hates it. He hates anyone that can touch the realm because he can't touch the realm. Only you can touch the realm. He can't go past that. He doesn't. It's off limits. The angel would cut his head off if he tried to go up there. He can't go up there. And those who can go up there, they hate you for it. Because he stood up there. And he hates you for what you bring out from that realm. Because when the glory rests upon you, every devil in hell knows. It's their defeat. It is the end for them. And they know it. They have no defense for what you bring out from that realm of glory. Somebody needs to say amen. We are pioneers of this realm. We are pioneers of an unknown place, but it's been made known to us. Still invisible to the world. Still invisible to the naked eye, but quite visible to the eye of faith. It's substance now. It's evidence now. It's reality now. I see that mountain greater than I see anything else. And we are inheritor heirs of it. I want everyone to stand up tonight. I want you to lay down everything. I want you to lay down the stuff you've been through. Everybody's been through it. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside sin if you have to. Lay aside trespass. Lay aside turmoil. Lay aside the past. Lay aside self-pity. Lay it all aside. Relinquish all of it. And understand that God is leaning and believing in us to bring this out from the realm of His glory into the earth. He's put a lot of trust in us.